Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Mike Shope.
I go into nice family restaurants and I see people throwing this name around and pretending as though everything is just fine. I'm talking about boneless chicken wings. I propose that we as a city remove the... Excuse me, I'm trying to...
Yeah.
And the bulldog.
Boneless chicken wings are just chicken tenders, which are already boneless. I don't go to order boneless tacos. I don't go and order boneless club sandwiches. I don't ask for boneless auto repair. It's just what's expected.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I propose that we rename boneless wings in the city of Lincoln. We can call them buffalo-style chicken tenders. We can call them wet tenders. We can call them saucy nugs or trash.
On WGR.
We can take these steps and show the country that we understand that we've been living a lie for far too long. And we know it because we feel it in our bones.
Sports Radio 550.
You're probably too cool to have ever done this. I realized a few minutes ago I really needed that something like that vending machine nonsense to happen again today. But
why is that?
Why that's so amazing and special, of course, is because that doesn't happen every day. If it did, who cares? You wouldn't post videos of it. But I'm sitting here like, does this ever happen to you? So I'm on Twitter on my phone. I'm just staring at it. I'm not even really reading it. I'm just numb, right? I'm just, oh, okay. Oh. 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 Oh, here's a take. Here's somebody's running back rankings. Oh, here's a pun. Oh, here's whatever. That what I sound like right now is exactly how my brain was processing the information, you know? Like just
yeah.
And then you do that for some length of time and then it hits you. What is your problem? Wake up, snap out of it. So then I put my phone down. And I pivoted here at the studio. I just turned to the left to my computer and opened Twitter. Has that ever happened to you? Like you just instinctively you just do that? I gotta find out what's going on. That is pathetic.
Yes, for sure. I've done that. Probably not even with separate devices. Like I'm sure I probably did today. I'm not that cool. I probably don't even realize I'm doing it. Like I gotta take a break. I'm just sitting here. You know, what am I doing here? Like, oh, Capitol riots testimony. Oh, Simone. Oh, just going through and not really, you know, processing any of it and put it down because you think like, oh, I'm just wasting time. And probably what is about 45 seconds later, pick it up and start over.
Right.
So I don't even pivot. I don't even have the like, oh, let me do something different. Idea. It's the same exact process. I just put the thing down for a second and maybe put my head back and thought like, oh, I could take a nap, I guess. Oh, I gotta see. I don't know. I mean, Vegas has cap room now. Back to Twitter.
Yep, that's right. Exactly.
You know,
you don't even have the moment of conscience there where you're
I had a moment today where I was ready to start tweeting about how much I hated Aaron Rodgers now. And you know what I realized before I hit? I didn't even really compose a tweet. I just thought, like, man, I'm really irritated by the airplane coverage last night, him walking into camp in the goofy office t-shirt and those atrocious sunglasses. Like, all of it's just making me mad. And, like, this is more of a me problem. Like, he's got issues. This is a weird couple of months for him. But, like, I don't hate him. I don't know him. This coverage is making me insane. It's not – I mean, it's partially his fault. If he just had a normal offseason and reported to Packers camp, we would not have been, I think, charting his airplane travels. But no. Nonetheless, I just, it can make you so mad, and there's no real good reason for it.
It's probably being mad at yourself, like hating yourself.
Yeah, probably.
Like, why do I care about this? Why do I have to listen to where his plane is?
Right. Why do I have a job that actually requires me to have some idea what he did today? Because Mike, hey, did you see what Aaron Rodgers was wearing today when he showed up to Packers camp? I'm going to go, no, and sound like I'm completely out of touch. So I got to be in touch with what Aaron Rodgers was wearing when he walked into a building in Green Bay. Oh, my God. Shoot me.
I really do have it written down.
It was going to
be
four.
It was going to be 4:32.
Okay.
But I do have a thing I could show you. I don't think I need to prove it to you.
You can bump it now because I brought it
up
early.
Yes, I'm going to bump it up because you just brought it up. But I do have a line on my notes here about his shirt. Nothing on the glasses.
There's some level of self-loathing that is involved in almost all of that. Whether you're daydreaming like you're describing or whether you're getting aggravated, for me, there's some level of I feel bound by duty to pay attention to this stuff, and I'm 56 years old. What have I done with my life?
I know, right?
Just a little bit. I mean, that's not my overriding sentiment, but there are moments where it feels like it's going to kill me.
Yeah. It's this job is so funny like that. Like,
right.
We're so lucky to have it. May it last, right? Like we're so lucky that what time do you go in? All these kind of beautiful, amazing, sort of ridiculous perks about it, but then like those moments are just very depressing. I'm totally the same. Like I'm a part of the problem,
right?
I am a part of the problem. I am the part of the reason why all that coverage exists,
right?
Not the biggest part, but I
work at right. I mean, we don't work at the biggest hot take factory, but we work at a hot take factory. That's what we do. Those are the lives we chose.
And it's funny because like this is maybe stretching the point, but it's been something I've been thinking about. It's been something I'm thinking of lately. Like, no, we're not the biggest hot take factory, which I am proud of. Like, there are things about this show that I am proud of. And it's intellectually honest. Like, it's not here just to sort of get clicks or what have you. And then once in a while, like yesterday at the vending machine thing, and I'm scrolling through the mentions, and somebody's like, your show is terrible. Like, well, why is it terrible, right? Like, it's not hot take enough, or we speak in sentences, or like, what is it that makes it terrible? It covers your teams. Should we not cover your teams? Like, why would it be terrible? What is the thing about it? Just, like, you know, you don't. Well, I guess I'm doing so now, but you don't answer, right? Because the conversation never ends if you actually answer it. It's like, well, what exactly is terrible about it? You know, like, whatever.
Yeah.
We don't have players on more often who can tell you nothing every time. And like, what is it exactly that the job
definitely does have its perks, though. Like, I am not, I don't want to be, I'm glad you said that because I don't want to come off like I hate it or I'm complaining, really. It's just there are these moments where it just seems so utterly, completely, entirely frivolous. Which, you know, I guess it should be because it is sports. And it's not the most important thing in the world. One of the perks is, for me, when I got annoyed like that earlier today, you know what I did? I had this thought. Well, I'm going to put this down. I'm actually going to take a nap so I can wake up to a Jack Eichel trade. I thought I have a justified reason for a nap other than I have nowhere to go and nothing to do and I'm lazy. And I did exercise this morning, so a nap is achievable and it's deserved, and I'll wake up to Jack Eichel trade news. And that didn't happen. So, but I did all I could do today.
No, but you might have thought you were going to.
Yes, I was hopeful. I really was.
If someone were to take a nap right now, I mean, how could you if you're listening to this?
Oh, it's
but
electric.
If you were to take a nap right now, you might wake up to a trade. Like, today is a busy day in the league, and the Vegas business might be relevant. It might be meaningful to where we're at with Eichel. Now, the same thing, I'm sure I said almost exactly the same thing about Minnesota last week with their buyouts, or whenever that was. And that could still be true also, but it hasn't been yet. The Vegas GM is speaking now, apparently. And that's maybe itself curious. Like, what is his day over? You know, but I mean, it's what, noon there? It's like it's not going to be over.
He might be trying to, like, massage the reports that Fleury found out about the trade from Twitter.
Yeah.
They didn't even call him or anything. I mean, his agent went out and – I mean, his agent's pretty brash. He's the one who tweeted the sword through Fleury's back last year during the playoffs. So the guy's got a bit of a rep, I guess, as a hothead agent. But he said, like, no one has talked to Marc-Andre Fleury about this, and he's on the way to Chicago. He's been traded to Chicago.
And he might retire.
Right. So they might be trying to, like, you know, do a little damage control there. I don't know. But, I didn't know he was speaking, but maybe that's a little weird.
Yeah, it probably isn't. I don't want to assume, like, that they're just there's no more news coming because he's having a press conference at noon. That's just, you know, some years of Darcy working on me where they had the one Q&A, live Q&A with fans, like right as free agency started the 1 year. Like, you know, really, couldn't that just have waited like a day?
Right.
But, you know, whatever. Like, Vegas is a player, I would think. It seems like that to me, for Eichel. And you know what? I think it was Vegas specifically, or just generally about a team like Vegas. Last week, when we were talking about different possible outcomes, and I mentioned a three-way trade.
Yeah.
Because if you have a team, not every team would want them. Not every team is right in the life cycle. Not every team is here for $10 million a year for a player, all these kinds of things. Not every team. Some teams would want them, but they might not have the part that the Sabres need, which is the kids or the draft picks.
Yeah.
And so in that case, what you need is a third party that can make, you know, fill out the triangle.
Yep.
So that team provides the prospect or the young pieces.
I think that makes some sense. Yeah. I saw Travis.
Yes.
Travis Yost. He tweeted that idea. Like, you know, you've got the bones of the trade. I don't know if he mentioned names. There's been a lot of name mentioning, but Krebs is the guy with Vegas as far as prospects go. He's the top of the heap there, and that's where I think you should have your sights set. Alex Tuch has been mentioned in every report about Vegas in an Eichel trade that I've ever seen. That's a 25-year-old salaried player, so that's some money. And then you could maybe get a number one pick, and then I think Travis's idea was they send another rostered player to a different team for a kid to throw in the deal, like a prospect that the Sabres like. And, like, I'm listening to that, you know? I mean, you know, if you're Vegas, I think you probably don't want to send your two best or two of your best four prospects away in one trade, you know, however badly you might want Jack Eichel. So that's a way to buffer it if you want to unload a little more money, too. I mean, they did clear up some room today by making the Fleury move. Tuck would free up more, and then this move that Travis suggests would also free up a little more money for them, and maybe get the Sabres another piece that would make the deal more palatable.
Yeah, so I think that's a very real possibility. It's hard to really, I think maybe you could say different, I don't know, or Joe could. It seems to me it'd be hard to try to predict the third team, because the third team could be almost anybody. It would come down to who they have that, A, they would part with, B, the Sabres have to like, right? You know, and that could just be sort of even a little bit mild, but still, there has to be some fit there. And that's not going to be every team. And then that team would also probably have to be pretty good, maybe, because they're trading a kid and Vegas is going to give them, I mean, this is what Travis would tell you, Vegas is going to trade a player to that third team. I mean, I'm not saying he's telling you they're going to. It's just like that's the hypothetical.
That's the idea. Yeah, right.
Yeah, they're trading somebody on their team, you know, with some sort of a contract to the third team, and the third team is trading the young player to the Sabres. So that's the third team. That's their trade. It's just with two different franchises.
Right, and you'd expect that the way that would work, like what teams want. A roster play, an NHL player with a contract, that's presumably not just a dump, but it's a piece that you might want, that you would swap a kid for, a promising kid for. That's a good team. Like, that's not a rebuilding team move. That's not a weaponize your salary space move like Arizona's been doing or Chicago did today by getting Fleury in the first place, which kind of started all this. It's a, we need this guy instead of this 21-year-old or 20-year-old guy who's just about to start playing in the minors. We can't wait. We're ready to go now.
I don't know what team fits for that, but like, I think you're right in that it would be like a contender. But Riley Smith is the player I'm looking at. 1 year, $5 million left on his deal, and he's 30, and he's still very productive. 14 goals last year in 53, 27 the year before that. But that's not a player the Sabres would have any interest in, which is why I kind of like this idea. Like, who wants Riley Smith? Who wants a 20-plus goal scorer that is not that expensive, has 1 year left, you're going to give us a secondary prospect for him, and Vegas makes the money work? Because with Smith and Tuck, if that was what they're giving up, that's $9.6 million. That's basically Eichel's salary, and they've basically done it. They fit it in.
Tuck would be a Sabre in that scenario. How do we feel about that? 25, he's got 5 years.
I've been all right with that all along. I said his name has been mentioned in almost every one of these scenarios. I don't know if it's because he's from the Syracuse area or what, but I think it would be a fit. I mean, it's not to me a guy, despite his production, he's been producing like that on a lower line on a great team. Like, I don't think, I just assume this guy is a top-line player for me. He might be a top-line player for me, but I don't know that I'm going to expect he's going to score 25 goals automatically just because he's been doing it on that stacked Vegas team. But he's a nice player. Like, he's got size, he moves well, he's got good skill. Like, he's a player I can get behind. His age works. He's the same age as Eichel. So, you know, it's not, to me, someone who's too old for this idea. If I'm going to take some money back, which I definitely do, this is way better than just some, you know, guy that is on his last legs and they're just dumping him here.
But you're not a winning team for at least the first year, realistically. Maybe two is realistic to say. And he's five. And he'll be 27, maybe, by the time you're anything. So am I not better off trying to flip him if I do this? I mean, I've got to spend somewhere, and I know that, but I don't feel like this player is perfect for what the Sabres would want. What the Sabres want, you know, I'll try to be a little bit careful here. I think what the Sabres want right now is to get rid of Eichel, to find a trade. Do that. That's been the plan, and time is ticking on that. So to do that is number one. And, well, how do you do it? Like with Reinhardt, I don't want to say they panicked. I don't mean that. But they felt some time pressure, right? Like, here was the draft. And so that's when these trades get made. Now you have free agency. If we go a week into free agency, I don't know, like with Eichel still on the team, then plans are made, right, around the league. So
yeah, I'd be really nervous if that happened.
And I don't think they want to keep him. I mean, I don't think they want to at all. They shouldn't want at all to go into the season with like, oh, no, Jack is still an important part. Like, just come on. Right? Like, come on. You know he doesn't want that. They shouldn't want that. That's really why they shouldn't want that. So you do something. Here you've got a team making room if they like him. I feel like he would be perfect for them for where they're at, for Vegas. He's perfect.
Them. Yeah.
You know, Anaheim isn't perfect. Anaheim's terrible. So we would take.
Same with L.A.
I mean,
yeah, Vegas, you know, yeah, L.A., we've talked, and when I've talked about L.A., like, I think they might sell themselves on the idea of doing it because they think their window is still open with their veterans there, Kopitar and Dustin Brown and Doughty and all that. But I think they'd be making a mistake. Vegas is, we're close. What's our problem? Center ice is our problem. Well, gee, what do you know? One of the top centers in the league is available in a trade. And, yeah, we got to sacrifice some future to make it happen. But, you know, we're in Las Vegas, Nevada. Let's put on a show. Like, I could totally see them doing it. It works from a hockey perspective. It works from a Vegas, you know, circus standpoint. It fits.
He would give them – like, they already have eight players making $5 million or more without Fleury, not even counting, he probably was making that, right?
Seven.
Oh, yeah.
So with him removed, according to Cap Friendly, Robin Leonard makes $5 million for four more years, and they have seven other guys making at least that much, all the way up to Stone, who's at $9.5 million for six more years. That's without Tuck, who's at $4.75 million for five more years. So Vegas, like, big spenders and, you know, top heavy, which is, I think, how I'd want to do it. I mean, that's how I'd want to do it. These guys, they have, making all that money, are all, like, really good, too. You know, they don't have any dead weight making $6, $7 million a year where you're like, oh, what are we going to do? The Sabres haven't had a lot of that.
Yeah, Fleury was, like, the closest they had to that. And he was still very good. He won the Vezina for them this year. So, like, he was exactly dead weight. But they have another goalie making pretty big money. So, like, you can understand the move. But he's the closest to, like, a questionable salary they had. And they got rid of it for free.
They did.
They do have an interesting construct, though, where, like, a lot of those guys are wingers. Like, only one of those players is a centerman.
Carlson.
So, right, William Carlson. So their construct has kind of been, like, we're okay at center. We're not investing a lot there. We're putting all our money on the wings, on a franchise defenseman, and in net. And, like, this to me, like, this is what they would want to do, is take a couple of those $5 million contracts, find someone else to take them, and if the Sabres see value in Tuck, then perfect, because I need to flip some of those big contracts and turn it into a first-line center. Because right now I've got probably a pretty good second-line center in Carlson, and then that's about it. Like, I'm forcing Chandler Stephenson in,
right,
in my top
right.
six.
Right.
Well, maybe it's good that they lost.
Oh, yeah. I think that was out there right away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as soon as they lost, it was like, I think people were, I suppose that's a team that could get busy on Eichel. They could, you know, overreact or just react. I mean, I don't know. Like, they've been hitting the same ceiling here for a few years in a row. It's a great place to be. I mean, really, right? Tough life, being in the conference final 3 years out of four, and in the final one of those three, too. But they, you know, might want to break through, and their lack of a bona fide top flight centerman is, I could see them organizationally thinking that's a problem.
Now, Kelly McCrimmon, who is speaking right now, just did say that he says, I like our centers. It seems to be a concern of people outside the organization more than inside the organization.
Yeah.
Says nothing.
Right.
Bull.
He'll trade
everything
for him in an hour.
In sports is of more concern to people outside your team than it is to people inside your team. Everything. Name a thing. It's more interesting to the masses out here than in there. I mean, there's more of us. That's all. It's just like one of these completely meaningless, almost snarky, like, oh, it's really, you guys are trying to generate. Come on. Come on means I'm not moving off this idea of that
right,
quote.
It's Gettleman with Beckham.
Gettleman, right. Yeah.
Right.
Why would we trade him? Next thing you
we
know,
just
trade
signed him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, well, I hope
you guys are a bunch
I, you
of
know,
jerks.
I hope it's connected, you know, this Fleury move. I mean, free agency does begin tomorrow. They are a team that was expected to want to do something. So, you know, they don't have to make the Eichel trade just because they made this move with Fleury, of course. But it makes sense. But they could be, you know, just, you know, being ready to do whatever. Maybe it's this. It could be something else. Who knows?
The Fleury move works in a vacuum.
Yeah.
Works without this. Well, be a good time for Minnesota to step up, maybe.
Yeah.
Right? That's the name of the game. I mean, you try to pit these teams against each other. Well, maybe that's in play right now. I don't know. Like, I don't have anybody telling me that a trade is imminent, but I feel like we've said this whole time, we're still we're definitely getting to the end of that window where, like, this is when it would happen. And the draft is over. And now you have free agency. This is really when it would happen. And in a week, it's kind of what now? If not sooner. All right, so heads up. We'll see if we get more to talk about here in that area. 803-0550 is our number. I think this hasn't happened yet, but I think when it does, or even before it does, sort of expecting it, how the Sabres are going to spend all the money they'll have to spend in terms of the salary cap is really interesting, too. Like, how would you go about that? You know, there's, like, so-called bad money where you can just take pretty much players you know are not going to help you and pay them and get to your floor. Or you could try to do it in a sort of a different way, be a little stealth about it, spread the money out more, whatever. Obviously, there's different ways to do it.
Right. That first way is what Arizona's been doing, and mm-hmm. you should get compensated for that, despite the fact that Chicago didn't offer any compensation, or excuse me, Vegas didn't offer any additional compensation to Chicago for taking that Fleury contract. But that's what, you know, that's a way to do that, but you got to be willing to spend that money on guys that really aren't going to help you.
803-0550, our number. We have Sal booked. Do we have Paul yet? Or no, we do. So Paul and Sal start a training camp, and lots more NFL news today, so we'll do a lot of that again. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Lines open. This is WGR.
Regular communication with Jack's agents, and you know, I don't know, I don't know whether reports are skating or not. He hasn't been in Buffalo, but hopefully he continues to progress. You know, by all accounts from Peter Fish, his agent, he's doing well. So we'll see where it goes from here.
Kevin Adams on Saturday. Catch up if you've been out of the loop on WGR550.com. Sal Capaccio has new writing there on the start of training camp as well. You can also find old shows and articles at the Audacy app, AUDACY. That is just the beginning. I mean, that app has, like, every radio station in the company is represented, right? You can listen to any of them. You want to listen to ours, of course, but there's a lot to do on the Audacy app. So we've talked some Jack Eichel already, and maybe Vegas is the fit. We are not sure, but Vegas, with its big move today, could be heading in that direction. Joe says that they are getting a prospect back for Fleury, but that the prospect would still play for Chicago's farm team. I'm not sure that's unprecedented, but like, why would you not want to have the guy play for your farm team? Is there some obvious reason for that?
They have a farm team. Yeah, I don't know. Lifestyle fit or something, maybe I family issue. I've no idea. I'm just guessing. I mean, it's not unprecedented, but it's not super common either.
The name of the player is Michael.
I think it's Hekkarainen.
Hekkarainen. Yep. I'm seeing it from Emily Kaplan. By the way, yesterday I wanted to mention Emily Kaplan. Did you watch the draft? I thought she was great.
She was great. I thought they did not do her any favors with where they had her.
Yeah, where was that?
Like, that was like the Columbus Blue Jackets draft party, I think. Okay. And it just looked like
of
local
all places.
News at the county fair. you know, it was just tough. There was people mugging for the camera behind her. Like, she did an excellent job, but I thought they, you know, I'll bet it's one of those things that once it started, they thought like, oh, we should have done something. Why did we do this? But, you know, the horse was running free by then, I guess. I don't know. But, yeah, I think she did excellent work, but it was at times a tough watch.
Was that at their arena? I don't remember seeing it. I liked Colorado for that because they just – like, where it's going to a brewery.
Kraken were at the Space Needle.
It looked like the Columbus Blue – I assumed it was the arena floor is what it looked like to me.
Hmm. Yeah, I saw her with John Davidson, so that's right, Columbus. She asked good questions, though.
Yeah. No, she's and I love, you know, the stories and the background she had. Like, she was top notch. Just again, the location was a little awkward, I thought. But
I think I saw she was the winningest guest on Around the Horn last year, or this year so far.
Oh yeah,
something like that. Does it all.
Wow.
The Sabres had a small gathering in the arena, right, for their picks. They had, I don't know how many people it was, a few dozen maybe.
Yeah, there were probably a couple dozen fans like behind Kevin Adams as he made the picks, cheering. Yep.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a segue here, but I can't, so I'm just going to tell you something different.
Barrel ahead.
My daughter's friend invited her to go with her and her family to the Eden Corn Festival coming up. I was trying to think of some way to say, like, could they have had the draft party at the Eden Corn Festival? But, you know, that would just be... What are you talking about? That hasn't stopped me other times. But somebody, she's got this invite to the Eden Corn Festival.
All right.
And it was funny. This morning she said she like maybe she was told about it last night or something, and then today she's like, you know, I think I'll go to the Eaton Corn Festival.
Nice.
Has anybody ever called it that? The Eaton Corn Festival.
I've never heard that before.
I said it's actually Eaton, which is a place, but you probably will be able to eat corn there. I would think they would have that option at the Eaton Corn Festival, which is now in our house, the Eaton Corn Festival.
That is awesome.
All right, so we've got that, not the corn. We've got the Saber stuff. We have the start of Bills camp. Bills there with their video. Guys are back. Here we go. We'll talk to Sal about that. That'll be at 5 today. I see Blake Bortles is out in Green Bay already. They'd signed Blake Bortles a couple of months ago, maybe, to compensate.
Aaron Rodgers insurance.
Right.
Yeah.
And so he was released.
Also, Zach Ertz has reported to Eagles training camp.
Zach Ertz. Still on the Eagles at camp. All right, here we go.
Yep, right, here we go. Nothing happened. Well, Bortles got, that was news, yeah. Everybody else is still where they were.
Yeah, are you, we want to have these, like, sort of these updates from teams, you know, like, is this a real thing? Is it some, San Francisco is one, so I'm trying to think of one. San Francisco is one. So there we have the coach saying Garoppolo enters as the starter. He's the starter right now.
Okay. That's couched.
Nope. Yeah, it's that's fine, right? Like there's no guarantees or anything like that. The way Matt Nagy with the Bears just mangled his answer to a question about Dalton.
Right. Unless Andy Dalton's shin bone is sticking out of his leg, he's starting the opener, basically, is what Matt Nagy has said.
Yeah, and you know, he can change that anytime he wants, but why make those promises? Why make those commitments? I have been drafting a lot of Trey Lance in fantasy, but it's always there. Like the point that he maybe is unlikely to start right away, right? So, you know, if you have a dynasty league or something, you could have him. If he's great, you could have him for 15 years. I'll probably be dead if the guy's good before, you know, he's off my team or something, right?
It's a little bleak. Yeah. All right.
So, you know, that whether he starts in September isn't really paramount for that. But I actually would love it because on some of these teams, I would really kind of need him to play early, you know? Quarterbacks are in high demand, two quarterback leagues, and you go with Lance, you're doing that instead of a Lawrence. You're doing that instead of a Derek Carr, somebody like that. And I just did it this morning. I drafted him this morning over those guys. And so it'd be nice. So I'm rooting for that. You know, not that you should care, but I'm definitely rooting for Lance to get the job in San Francisco. I mean, I don't think Garoppolo is particularly good. I'm a little bit surprised he's still there after they made those moves, but they'd want somebody.
Yeah.
Bortles is now available.
Yeah, I would bet most football fans, regardless of the fantasy point, I don't know. We'll see what you know, late August or September, whenever we get around to having our draft with the league that Paul runs, that I'm in with you. But so maybe I'll end up with Trey Lance. I don't know. But like, regardless of that, I think football, it's better when the young guys play, right? We've seen Garoppolo and like whatever, you know, he's okay. Lance is super interesting and exciting, and like the 49ers become a much more interesting team, I think. Not that they have to be bad if Garoppolo plays. I mean, they were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago with him as their quarterback, so they've had some success with him, really. That's it, that 1 year. But the young guys playing, I mean, I want Fields to play in Chicago because I want to see Justin Fields play, not because I really want Chicago to be good or because I've got him in fantasy. I just think it's way better to watch the Bears play when they're in primetime if Justin Fields is playing rather than Andy Dalton. I mean, come on, I'm done with Andy Dalton already.
Yeah, what are you going for? Just he's holding the position down until you think your guy is ready, but I mean, we've seen that shift dramatically in the NFL over the years to the point now where it's weird to hear someone tell you about how they have to develop, right? I mean, teams still talk like that. Out here, it doesn't sound like many of us are talking like that anymore. We've noticed maybe this is where we're taking our cue, or maybe we thought it already. Like, you've noticed teams get to their rookies fast. usually those guys are on bad teams, which is why they were drafted high, right? Like the Bears. Well, the Bears are not the best example. They were actually in the playoffs. But still, usually that's the case. So Jacksonville, for instance, or the Jets, it just doesn't even, it's not even controversial, right? Like it's, it doesn't, I think it would have been controversial 10 years ago, maybe. Whoever that guy was, Bradford or somebody. Like, was that controversial if they started right away? It's less so now.
Yes, that's definitely right. It's definitely less so now. You know, and then you've got Green Bay, who drafted Aaron Rodgers' supposed replacement the draft before last, and just begged Aaron Rodgers to come back, and now he's back, and now Jordan Love can sit there at least for another year.
Well, they got the Cobb trade done. It's really why he's back.
I hope we're not going to all get mad at ourselves for bringing Green Bay back into the conversation. it's ironic that Rodgers has had this beef with management, which I think also is sort of understandable to a point for their moves, but then his return is contingent on getting Randall Cobb back. Like,
and they really did that? Like that is happening?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Do you know the trade? Is there an actual trade yet?
There's no reported return, but someone had it like 20 minutes ago that it's a done deal.
Yeah, right. I saw that.
And
we
Brandon
don't know.
Cooks tweeted like good luck to him. So it's happening. We just don't know what.
A low pick probably is what we're looking at, or
for a first
depth player. Yeah. It'd be hilarious. But isn't that sort of ironic, right? Like,
well, if you're Houston, kind of, be like, you got to get this guy or else your quarterback's not coming back.
What kind of
pay up?
Yeah, Houston. Maybe Houston could squeeze a sixth out of Green Bay. How about just for the favor, we'll up it by a round.
So, yeah, what the final scoreboard reads is Rodgers was unhappy with moves the front office made, including drafting his replacement without giving him a heads up, not supplying him with quality receivers, and the stipulation for him to come back was freedom potentially as soon as next year in the form of a trade and voiding the last year of the contract. And, oh, yeah, you got to bring back this used-up receiver.
It's the $15 of fab money that you throw in a fantasy trade. Yeah. I want Randall Cobb.
Yeah.
Just because I want.
Yeah, we're all kind of saying like, so you want to be the GM,
right? And this is what
you got. This is the best you can do.
Right.
I mean, my Twitter is littered with what about Donald Driver? What about Jake Junis? What about Kuhn, the fullback?
Michael Finley.
What about Jermichael Finley?
Right. Just keep going. I mean, this guy is not retired. He happens to be on the Bills. What about Jake Kumerow? go get him back.
We don't have Bills interviews yet. Maybe tomorrow? I don't know.
Right.
Sal will be on later, and I'm sure Sal will know. We'll find out when they start to appear. But other teams have that, and the vaccine will be a big subject, of course. It has been already with Cole Beasley being so vocal. I'm seeing a comment from Ron Rivera today. So Rivera, he's had health challenges. He was a cancer patient, I believe, last year, if I remember correctly, Rivera, right? Does that sound right?
Yep.
He says he is, quote, beyond frustrated that many players on his team are unvaccinated. Washington is near the bottom of the league, reportedly. 60%. The league numbers are okay, I think. Like, they're climbing, but apparently Washington isn't looking good, and Rivera, who has you know, Sean McDermott did this. Rivera might have done more of this when he was talking about how he felt it was very important and the right thing to do. And now he's, you know, the point was that teams are starting to have, coaches are having their press conferences, and everybody's going to be talking about this at least once. And so his comment is he's not happy that he can't convince more of his players, or that someone else can't either convince them to get vaccinated. So, you know, today's news overall is kind of sobering.
Mm-hmm.
Increases in cases and return to masking and so on. I don't know. You want to hope that something will motivate people that hasn't worked yet, I guess.
Yeah. What is that supposed to be? I mean, you know, like, I really don't know. I don't know what it's like. Common sense and science isn't working. Trying to be considerate of the people around you isn't working. I don't know. Can you incentivize it in some way other than those things, which, you know, I think for a lot of people would be plenty of incentive. I don't know. I don't know what to do. But it's going to be bitter if in big bold letters things unravel to the point where what we thought was going to happen with the stadium doesn't happen. And what we thought was happening with restaurants and bars and what we've been enjoying with concerts and stuff, like all sort of being back, a giant pause button has to be hit again on all that. I mean, I can't imagine the frustration people who have done what I think is the right thing are going to feel towards those who haven't.
Well, there is an update from Sal on the media stuff. He says in a tweet just now, Brandon Bean is at 8:30 tomorrow morning, Sean McDermott 9:15, and both will be broadcast live here on WGR, and that the first practice goes at 10. So there is your schedule, Bean and McDermott tomorrow morning live on the station.
And I imagine players will be available after practice. That's how that usually works. So
right. And those are press conferences, not like appearances on the morning show per se.
Right. With Bean and McDermott.
Yep. Paul Hamilton coming up in about 15 minutes. The latest on Jack Eichel's status and more around the NHL with free agency about to start. There have been some interesting moves today. Marc-Andre Fleury, the biggest, traded to Chicago, but he might not go. And that might mean room for Jack Eichel if Vegas is able to pull that off. We will find out eventually. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Thanks for being with us on WGR.
I do think Tom Brady factors into this, but only in the sense that I think they're kind of chasing him now. And Tom Brady, I think, made the Patriots, let's say, it didn't make them look too good last year by, you know, leaving town and going and winning a Super Bowl while the Patriots went 7-9. So I think this whole offseason was about, you know, getting back to that championship level and kind of responding to the challenge set by Tom Brady. And so, you know, the team clearly wants to win. They spent a record $175 million fully guaranteed on all their free agents this offseason. Just a wild spending spree that I don't think the NFL has ever really seen before.
Ben Volin of the Boston Globe on One Bills Live. This might not be exactly what he's addressing, but on New England, I don't really know how well they did upgrading their skill positions. I mean, they were really pretty much the bottom of the league last year. It's one reason why I end up, logically, I get to hang in there with Cam Newton, which you're in a different place than I am on him. And, you know, it doesn't have to be good logic. Like, whether his receivers could get open might not mean anything to, like, how his mechanics at this stage of his career, right, like that. But I think the Bills of last year are a great example of how different an offense can look, how different a quarterback can look with scheme and that talent that has been added to the Bills in terms of Diggs alone last year, just boom. And so, you know, again, like, does that mean Cam Newton can throw well enough? Like, not by itself.
Right. I'm betting against it. I'm betting against it. And I saw something today that there was already some report of whispers within the Patriots that, like, Newton doesn't have it anymore and Mac Jones is the guy for the job. And, like, I'm liking that bet. I like that we have that bet. I don't know that I'm, you know, how confident I feel that I'm going to win it, but I like that we have that bet.
We have a bet on who will start week one for New England. And you have Jones, and you get 2-1 if you're right. You like that, then. You still would be on Jones at 2-1.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to change either.
Good.
Yeah, I guess that was the point, right?
Yeah.
I'm hanging in there with Cam Newton.
You're hanging in there, and I like where I am. Yep.
I like Jonnu Smith. I think he'll probably be more of a receiving option in terms of tight end, with Hunter Henry being more of the blocker. but Henry can play. Wide receiver, though, geez, I just...
Right, Aguilar is the big name there, right? Yeah.
Yeah, like...
Right, like an offense can change so much in 1 year like the Bills, but the Bills went out and got, like, elite separators.
Yep.
And New England improved, but those are not elite separators. Aguilar is a good separator, but even, like, Kendrick Bourne is right now maybe their number two wide receiver, and he's more of a possession guy. Like, they didn't go that route.
Even Sanders would have been. Even John Brown would have been.
Yeah.
Better, I think, for them, but
yeah, I think the idea is they are going to run it on you, and Newton's going to run it, and they're going to use Henry and Jonnu Smith in running formations, and then they will get you like with quick short passes to them, and maybe especially Smith after the catch. But you know, I don't know that sounds like a decent theory. I don't know how impactful it will end up being.
James White, interesting in fantasy because there are people who are just, that's over. But in that offense you just described, I think there's a lot of James White.
Yeah.
I think there could be a lot of work for him. So you have guys that I mix in with who some love him late in these drafts and others would just never take him. Paul Hamilton coming up next here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.